The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 9, verses from 28 to 36. Luke chapter 9, verses from 28 to 36. Allow me to read the words. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up into a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud, saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen. Amen. Peter and his two brothers, John and James, followed Jesus up to a mountain without any special expectation and saw Jesus, whom they have never imagined before. The second half of verse 36, the final verse of today's scripture, testified as follows. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen. How much would the three disciples want to tell the other disciples or people the glorious looks of Jesus that they saw? But the Bible testifies that they did not tell anybody anything at that time. The reason was revealed in Matthew chapter 17, verse 9, as follows. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." It wasn't that the disciples kept a secret by themselves, but was because Jesus did not let them talk about it until his resurrection. And the reason that Jesus took the three disciples was not only because they were more trustable, but also he needed two or three people, a minimum number of witnesses who can testify an incident based on the Old Testament. That the disciples telling that they saw the appearance of Jesus' face and clothes changed and he met Moses and Elijah was the testimony that it happened without fail. Jesus talked with Moses and Elijah on the mountain about the spiritual exodus through his death on the cross. Jesus talked with Jesus and Elijah because Moses represented the law of the Old Testament and Elijah for the prophets of the Old Testament. It was also due to the death they shared in common. Elijah was lifted before being dead, while Moses faced his death in a unique way. Chapter 34 of Deuteronomy testifies the funeral of Moses, but no one knew where his grave located. The Jewish legend tells that Moses was ascended to heaven. Of course, Jesus was resurrected and lifted to heaven in reality. And Moses and Elijah share two more things with Jesus in common. First, all three of them had been rejected. First part of today's scripture testifies the story that Jesus asked his disciples in Caesarea Philippi, who do the crowd say I am? They mentioned John the Baptist, Elijah, and one of the prophets in response. Then Jesus asked them again, who do you say I am? Peter answered, the Christ of God. Hearing Peter's answer, Jesus taught his disciples for the first time as testified in Luke chapter 9, verse 22. And he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed on the third day, be raised to life. Jesus talked in advance that he must be killed and rejected before being resurrected in 3 days. Moses also was rejected. In the chapter 7 of Acts, it is written about what Stephen preached to his descendants of Israel. Part of the sermon was about Moses as testified in Acts chapter 7, verses 35 and 36. This is the same Moses they had rejected with the words, who made you ruler and judge? He was sent to be their ruler and deliverer by God himself. Through the angel who appeared to him in the bush, he led them out of Egypt and performed wonders and signs in Egypt, at the Red Sea, and for 40 years in the wilderness. Moses was rejected by the descendants of Israel. Moses was born as the people of Israel, but was raised as a foster child of the princess of Pharaoh. One day he went outside of the palace and witnessed that his people were laboring hard and beaten by an Egyptian. He killed the Egyptian and buried him in the sand. Next day he went out again and saw two Hebrews fighting each other. He asked one person that why he was beating the same people. He turned on him and saying, who let you be the ruler and judge for us? I know you killed an Egyptian, and now are you going to kill me as well? And Moses headed for the Midian wilderness, as Stephen told. Such Moses became the leader who led the descendants of Israel to Exodus and lived faithfully for 40 years as God's people, since he was called by the Lord. Elijah is not an exception. As mentioned at the last sermon, Elijah was a prophet, served at a time when King Ahab ruled North Israel. At the time, there was a far greater advance than the previous times in terms of politics, economy, and diplomacy. However, King Ahab and Jezebel pushed their people to worship Baal, Asherah, and other idols, so spiritually they were very tired and wanting. Then Elijah proposed King Ahab to gather together people of Israel and prophets who were paid by Jezebel to make sure who really was God. Four 450 prophets of Baal and a lot of Israelites gathered on the Carmel. Elijah asked the Israelites to choose and said, as testified in the 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, as follows, Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. In response to the prayer of Elijah, God sent fire, and it was proven that Jehovah was God. Since then, however, Elijah still wasn't welcomed and had to run away from the threat of Jezebel. How desperate it was! Elijah even cried and asked to kill him instead in a cave at Horeb. No matter how it was, Elijah stayed faithful as a servant of God before he was lifted to heaven without being dead. The second thing in common is that all of them were used as mediators. Acts chapter 7, verse 37, where the sermon of Stephen is also written, testifies Moses as follows. This is the Moses who told the Israelites, God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your own people. Prophet like me, whom Moses told, indicates Jesus Christ. Moses mediated between God and Israelites. Moses received the law on Mount Sinai from God to have Israelites live a life as God's people. But the people of Israel made an idol of a bull, declared that the idol was God, who led them from Egypt, and held the party. Disappointed by that, God told Moses that he wanted to start again with him without the existing people of Israel. Moses then desperately prayed to God, saying, God, if you put an end to these people here, the Egyptians would mock you that you saved the people based on unrighteous purposes. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and James, and give mercy on these people. Otherwise, erase my name on the book of God. And God took it back in response. The role of Elijah as a mediator was similar to that of Moses. Malachi says that God will send Elijah or John the Baptist in the New Testament first before sending Messiah. The last two verses of the Old Testament, chapter 4, verses 5 and 6 of Malachi, testify as follows. See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. The work of Elijah or John the Baptist in the New Testament was to connect between Father and his children so that they direct toward each other. This means that the confrontation with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel was not focused on whether or not the fire came down or not, but was to turn the hearts of the Israelites who once had distance from God back toward God. Needless to say, the work of Jesus also was as an eternal mediator to link between God and us who went apart from God due to sins. What the disciples were doing at such an important moment was testified in verse 32. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. Peter, John, and James were very sleepy. The word very means heavy. There's a Korean riddle asking what the heaviest thing in the world would be. As you can guess, the answer is eyelids. Even if you are the world champion in arms wrestling or the strongest man in the world, you can never lift your eyelids when you are really sleepy. Those three disciples were sleepy that much and became fully awake. To become fully awakened is one word in Greek. After being awakened, their vision was not vague, but they clearly saw Jesus, Moses, and Elijah as if they woke up in the morning after full and quality sleep. The appearance of Jesus particularly was different than that of the past. But it was just for a moment, and Peter made a suggestion when Moses and Elijah were about to leave, as in verse 33. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. Peter said he would set up three shelters for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah respectively, but Jesus did not respond to his offer. People would make jokes about this as follows. Jesus listened to Peter and thought all three of them were fishermen. They might row and fish well, but building a house would not be something they can do well. And Jesus was a carpenter. Once they began to build a shelter, Jesus, who was a carpenter, would obviously have to work alone. So he said nothing and went down the mountain. The fact is that Peter said without knowing the meaning of what he was saying and just proposed because he did not recognize which way Jesus should take. When serving in Geneva, Switzerland, I once visited Krakow in Poland to attend a meeting with other missionaries and also to take some rest. Krakow had been a capital for 558 years before Warsaw became the capital. The Auschwitz was there about 6 kilometers to the east from the city, 15 kilometers apart to the south, was the famous Belitsa salt mine. The mine was included in the first designation of 8 places of world cultural heritage and 4 world natural heritages of UNESCO in 1978. An exhibition hall is located ...64 to 326 meters under the mine. The scene where miners had been digging salt since the 13th century was reenacted with a variety of artworks made with salt as well as a small lake. As Paul Paul II was born in Krakow, there also was a sculpture of him made with rock salt as well. The best part of the exhibition hall would be the St. Kinga's Chapel, which is located 100 meters under the ground and 2.5 times larger than our main worship hall. There's a relief of Jesus' life on the wall of the chapel. There also is a relief made with salt as large as the Last Supper made by Leonardo da Vinci. It was marvelous to think how such a large worship hall could be built underground and how such a huge artwork could be made with rock salt. Amazed by the sheer size and content of the chapel, I talked to my 4-year and 8-month-old son. Sungjin, this is a cathedral built 100 meters underground. He replied, "What is a cathedral, Dad?" I told him that a cathedral is a church. By hearing a church, my son was impressed and said, "Church? Then is there a Sunday school too?" Saying, "Put up 3 shelters," and asking, "Is there a Sunday school too?" would mean the same in that both of them did not recognize what they were talking about. Why did Jesus have to suffer mockeries and hardships as well as being despised and rejected despite that he was such a glorious man and came to earth to do such an important work? The reason is testified in Isaiah chapter 53, verses from 1 to 3. "Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that he should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem." The reason was that Jesus had nothing attractive to make us love him. From the human viewpoint, he had nothing to love indeed. His father was a carpenter, which was considered one of the most humble jobs at the time. Jesus himself also was a carpenter until he began his public life at the age of 30. His mother became pregnant thanks to the Holy Spirit without husband. People said it was not only unbelievable, but also ridiculous. And Jesus was born, and it wasn't a cradle where Jesus was laid, but was a manger. Jesus neither learned from famous teachers at the time, nor he studied in Jerusalem. There are many divided opinions about the body of Jesus. Some say that Jesus was 153 centimeters tall and weighed 50 kilograms, while others say he was 181 centimeters and 80 kilograms. More recently, the University of Padova studied Jesus and printed him on a 3D printer and found him 178 centimeters tall and handsome. The man who wore 181 centimeters tall and weighed 80 kilograms, or the man who was 173 78 centimeters tall and handsome, could be named as Jesus. But he's not Jesus whom we believe in. Jesus, the Lord whom we believe in, had neither an attractive appearance nor a fine presence. In addition, as Jesus grew up in Nazareth, Galilee, he might have used a dialect of Galilee instead of classy accent of Jerusalem. If Jerusalem is Seoul, Jesus must have used an accent of North Korea. Imagine such a man was saying, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And Father and I are the same." The chief priests, Pharisees, and Sadducees could not stand it. Wouldn't it have been greater if Jesus came to us as a royal family of Israel, or Gamaliel, who taught the Apostle Paul, let alone a family member of the Roman Empire, or at least a son from the wealthiest family at the time, and said, "Social positions or level of education, possessions, all are not important for me." Jesus, however, came to us as a humble man who had nothing to claim others' recognition. That indicates that no matter how humble and weak we are in this world, we become part of Jesus' salvation. Such Jesus tells us, "Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me." The disciples also had once misunderstood Jesus about who he was. They thought that Jesus would become greater king than David, as those who followed Jesus expected. But they realized clearly when the Holy Spirit of Pentecost, that they were looking at the false appearance of Jesus. And they have changed since then. They were faced with difficulties and rejected, but those hardships did not affect their life for good, for God and pursuing God. Just as the Apostle Paul considered the chain around his wrist a chain of grace, Apostle Peter was the same. He was imprisoned while living obedient to the Lord. His wrists were chained with other soldiers, but it couldn't stop him from living for the Lord. To the eye of Apostle Peter, there was no one but Jesus. To Peter and other disciples, Jesus Christ was the eternal life. If that's for the life for Jesus Christ, they didn't spare their life at all. Please excuse that I am going to tell you the same story that I've told you at the senior summer retreat last year. Our church hosts family invitation night every fall to have an opportunity to introduce Jesus to family members or friends who have not yet received God outside the church. It was when I attended family invitation night 2015. Two staff members shared 5 pieces of papers and pens to the participants and let them write down 5 things or persons they thought most important. I wasn't going to join, but became curious about what I was considering precious and wrote them down on each of the paper pieces. In a while, the staff said, " Enter the fifth among the five you wrote down. At the moment, I was greatly surprised because the fifth was the 100th anniversary memorial church. I could feel that I loved my church so much. And I pictured the members of the church that I had met, but thought that a greater minister than me would be far more beneficial to the church if he or she serves God more faithfully than me. After a while, the MC told us to tear down the fourth. It was a little heartrending. The fourth was Chung Hanjo myself. It's not been so long since I became to like myself. I pressured myself a lot and didn't like what I was doing. So many times I used to pray to God for myself. And when I was entering the mid-40s, I began to like myself gradually. So I encouraged myself, even if I was not in this world, it would be okay because the next must be heaven. Soon the MC told us to tear down the third. My hands were shaking. There were the names of my two sons written on it. If my two sons vanished, I could hardly imagine. The MC told us to tear down the second as well. Tears began to drop, and I couldn't do it. The name on the second piece was my wife. And then the MC said, "Look at the last one and write a letter to them. And I will send the letter for you." The name on my first piece of paper was Jesus Christ. So I wrote down a prayer. "Jesus, my Lord, I love my church, myself, my sons, and my wife, but still can't manage to live without them. But without Jesus Christ, I cannot live. If I could leave this world one day out of blue, please take care of my church and my family, and please embrace me." As Jesus said, what we have to walk is the way of life where we deny ourselves and take up our cross. Even if God planted us at our home, work, school, and other places of living with all his heart and soul, there is something that makes us feel uncomfortable. But those are the chains of God's grace by which God wants to hold us tight. This is not because God left me or rejected me. The starting point, the milestones, and the final destination at the same time for us to live as Christians is this word: when the voice has spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. That Jesus was alone. Let us pray. Father God, like you who silently walked the way of the cross step by step despite being tortured, rejected by people, Moses followed the word of God even if he was rejected by the people, had the descendants of Israel escape Egypt and led them to enter the land of Canaan, passing through the wilderness for 40 years, thereby becoming the shadow of Jesus who will come to this land. In addition, at a time when it was considered natural that even prophets like Elijah worship idols. He became the indicator of John the Baptist, who prepared for the way where Jesus would come by following God and led the hearts of people direct toward God. Peter, John, and James, and other disciples once misunderstood Jesus at first and made many mistakes. Especially Peter, on behalf of the disciples, did not even recognize what he himself was talking about and just mentioned that he would build three shelters. But they came to understand after, when the Holy Spirit of Pentecost came, the true meaning of what Jesus preached and made sure who they should look up to. That was how they became the people of faith and the example of our faith 2,000 years later now, by accepting the threats from the elders and the inconveniences of chains in a prison as the chains of God's grace, so that they can look only up to Jesus. Father God, now help us live a life where we deny ourselves and carry our cross every day in places of daily lives where you planted us with all your heart and soul. Help us not absurdly think and talk, even for a second, I will set up three shelters to avoid a life that Christians should bear and live. Allow us not to be disappointed, even though we are rejected sometimes when following the truth, and consider inconveniences in many forms in our life. God's grace to have us not drift apart from God. We keep the word Jesus was alone well in our heart, and help us our life become Christians from its beginning, processes, and through the final destination. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.